Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Today is April 22nd, 2016, and I'm Julia Cannon. And let's see, I've got a few announcements, and then I'll bring in our guest tonight. We were having a few technical difficulties. I don't know what's going on out there in the airwaves. We are just having things happening. I guess it's, as Mom would always say, the little gremlins are at work. So I guess that's what's going on. We'll just see what's happening. If anybody knows of special things, maybe our guest knows of some things. that's probably what's happening. Anyway, we just finished our back-to-back conferences. They were so exciting, our Transformation Conference and the UFO conferences, and had an absolute blast. My goodness. That's why I was off last week. I had to recuperate. I mean, two conferences back to back, just an enormous success, an enormous energy, and lots of, just loads of stuff we had to rebound from and everything. So, apologize for taking it off, but we had to recuperate. So, came back from that, and here we're back. So, what's coming up? I'll be leaving this next week and going to do a couple of classes. We'll be doing class in China, a level two class there in Beijing, and then right after that, going to Taiwan and doing a level three class there. No, take that back. Level three class there. I'll get it right here. And then I'll be back. And then our classes after that are in June. And I'll talk more about that at the end as well, because our guest tonight is a QHHT practitioner. So that's what we'll be talking about. We have just a lot of things coming up. So very excited about QHHT and everything going on with that. So we have a lot of things coming up this summer. And I got to meet again our guest tonight. I think we had met, we finally realized, I think it was... he'll have to remind me again when he had his level two, but when we saw each other, because his story, I'll let him tell his story and everything, but he was in Burbank, California, doing his level three just this like a couple months ago, and just delightful. I just had so much fun with him and getting to be reacquainted and everything. And I just had so much fun. I really, really wanted to share him with everyone, and so you could get to know him as well. And so I'm so excited to have with us Jeroen Witt. Except you have Witt on your thing, but I thought it was DeWitt. So which is it, Jeroen?
Hi, Julia. Welcome. Hi. Thank you for that lovely introduction. Yeah, it's a little confusing. My name is Jeroen De Witt. My Facebook page says Jeroen Witt because I had some trouble with Facebook and the way they need me to name the pages, and my last name is split up in two parts, and it just caused some trouble. So, okay. Yeah, but my last name is De Witt, and it's wonderful to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me here, and it's great to hear you again. It was so lovely meeting you back in February and spending time with you and doing the QHHT work.
Oh, it was. It was so much fun. I so enjoyed being with you and getting to know you and everything. Thank you so much. And getting to see the work that you're doing. And that's what I want to hear more about tonight as well. So that's what I like to really explore in these shows is getting to know you and your journey and seeing where you came from. And that's what we got to hear a lot about whenever you came back and shared with the, we were doing the level one companion course for the very first time, and you came back and you shared with that class as well. And so we got to hear about your journey a little bit there. And so I would like for you to do that here is if you, you know, this is pretty much your floor here. So I want you to just tell everybody about your journey, kind of where you've been and where you came from and what got you here, because that's what makes everybody, you know, who they are. And that's what I love to hear. It's everybody's stories, you know, because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much. Well, where to start? I first heard about Dolores Cannon, your mom, your wonderful mom, in 2006. And I read, I think, Custodians it was. Yeah, I read Custodians. And at the time, I wasn't such an avid reader, but I just devoured that book cover to cover. I was at a friend's place. I was getting some energy work done. And picked up the book and just couldn't put it down. It so resonated with me. The information that was shared, it just filled out these missing, like, holes in my mind, so to say. It's like, oh my God, I've always known it's like this, and you know, here it is, right in this book. And so I was fascinated. And Dolores happened to come to the Netherlands at the time. This is where I'm from. In 3 months' time, I think it was. And so I signed up for the class, and I took the class, and it was just wonderful. I don't remember ever being so focused in any class, but I was just absorbing it all. I mean, going further back, like you asked me about my journey, I've always been interested in like sort of the unseen world. I always sort of had an idea that there would be more than just the physical. I wasn't really raised in any religion. I'm from the Netherlands, and we're kind of cerebral, rational people. We don't believe in a whole bunch. I just always felt there should be more than just the physical. And so I started on a search. I wanted to experience, spirit or God or universe or whatever name you have for it. And so I tried different things, and I read a lot of books. I got into Reiki, into energy healing in 1999 after I had a really difficult phase in my life, and I needed to heal from that. One of the things that I picked up was QHHT. So I took the class in 2006 and started working on people, and then in 2009 took level 2 and noticed a big change afterwards, but, you know, became more focused, and I became more self-assured in doing the sessions, and then took level 3 back in February. That's like the short of it. Is there, I don't know how detailed you want me to be.
Oh, I want you to go as deep as you want. Like, okay, so like before you ever found Dolores or her works or anything, so, you know, what were you doing before? What was your life like? What, you know, like you said you were very cerebral, but what were you doing? What was your, you know, what career were you into? What was your, you know, I mean, what were you into then?
Sure. Well, I've always been interested in the metaphysical, and I was actually training to be a dancer back in Amsterdam. And,
cool.
Yeah, and I thought it was something that I'd always wanted to do. And so finally I was admitted into the dance academy, and while I was there, I just noticed that I wasn't as inspired as I saw everybody else be. So I spoke with the dean of the school, and she said, why don't you go take this landmark forum? I don't know if you know what that is.
Like a, no.
It's like a large group process that leads you through some insights about life. And people generally come out of it feeling, you know, much more efficient about their life, and, you know, knowing what they want to do and having more resources together and how to create their life the way they want it to be. That didn't happen for me. I got out of it very depressed and really not feeling very good, and it stuck a bit. And so I contacted a holistic healer, and he did some healing on me, and, you know, told me that my energy was like knocked out of the outside of my body, and you know, put it back in. That's just for it. And I thought, okay, that just let me go on with life. Let me go back to school. But, you know, I wasn't feeling good still. So then, you know, looking back, then a long process of sort of putting myself back together started in a better way than I'd been before. And so I started doing, looking into energy healing. And as I was getting healing, I was also practicing on people. And I noticed how beautiful this process is of healing, that, you know, once people's own system or soul gets a chance to come in and provide healing, it's a very individual process, and it's got great beauty. And I saw it in my own process, and I saw it working on other people. And so this is when it clicked for me. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be part of people's process and help them become empowered like the way it happened for me. I took Reiki. I did these Reiki classes in Canada and Toronto, and I was traveling a lot at the time, and I just noticed that the energy of North America was a better fit for me.
Okay.
So in 2007, I had finished a degree in art therapy and couldn't find a job in the Netherlands, and was doing like front desk work at a cultural center, and went to a psychic, and she said, like, you're done in the Netherlands. There's nothing here for you. Just go somewhere else. And at the time, I had just done a dance project in Los Angeles, and it was my first acquaintance with the city. And I just fell in love with it. I love the climate. I love the space. I had a great time with the other artists that I was working with. We shot a little dance short in the desert, which was amazing. The desert is just amazingly beautiful. And so I just knew I had to be here, and I packed up my stuff and moved to Los Angeles. And here, you know, I was working a job at a spa and started doing more energy work and, you know, gathering sort of a client base to do more and more QHHT work. And so I met many, many different people, all walks of life, and had amazing sessions. And, that's what I love to do. That is my story in a little bit. Is there, that is it.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And because that's what I want people to hear, is like where you come from, because that way they can identify, you know, with you.
Right.
And if it relates to them or not and stuff. So, okay. So now you've been doing your sessions and everything. And what I would love for you to share now is maybe some of the things that have been happening in your sessions, you know, just different things.
Sure. Well, so many different things. I have to think back. I'm assuming that the people that are listening to the show are familiar with, like, you know, different dimensions and aliens and light beings and all that stuff. So,
well, we hope so.
We hope so, right?
We hope so. If not, you're going to expose them to it, aren't you?
Okay, I sure am. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what I enjoy most about sessions is that I never know where people are going to go. You know, this is the same for all practitioners. We allow the person's higher self, or the subconscious, as we call it, to provide them with the appropriate healing experiences. So I'm always perched at the edge of my seat and, waiting to see where people go. And sometimes, you know, it's very, you know, as Dolores called them, potato digging lives of, you know, being a herdsman in a little shack and just herding goats for the whole lifetime. And that's about it. But sometimes, you know, these wild experiences happen where people are part of light councils and they know a lot about what's going on with the planet, with the universe, with our development, the development of our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I like when I get to find out about these different dimensions and different, this different life that is, you know, that's going on everywhere that we really don't know about. So I enjoy making a connection and hearing about it. So whenever people go through a lifetime and they die and then move to, you know, what you could call heaven or the in-between life state, and there's beings there, I always ask them, you know, can you tell me something about what's going on with the person first and then what's going on with the planet? And so you get a much wider perspective of what's going on.
Yeah.
Like the things that I remember, like off the top of my head, that were sort of amazing. It was one of the first sessions that I did, they were really quite spectacular already. There was this client who reported, like, a part of him was living on a sort of cluster of like living, like sort of habitats in the universe somewhere. And that part of him was sent to Earth to learn about feelings and emotions, because his race or his community didn't have those. So they were emulating emotional warmth by using color. So color was really important. Like he lived in a red habitat, so to sort of emulate warmth, emotional warmth. And yeah. this other aspect of him, you know, was from a different dimensional plane, and I was physically affected by it. The when the energy came in, I started to shake. My body just started to shake. So, me being from the Netherlands and not, you know, having a lot of experience with the spirituality or the metaphysical, because we're so, you know, cerebral and rational. Mm-hmm. This is really sort of like a, you know, like the first sign of proof that something is really going on here. Like I could really feel it. It was an experience for me.
That's probably why it happened. It was for you,
right? That's what I think. Yes, and I was lucky that I had clients that had past lives that were verifiable. So they would go into a past life, and then you know, we'd gather the information, and then they would go home and Google it, and then call me back all excited, like, "Oh my God, I found who I was in this past life! I just pulled up this Wikipedia page, and there was me with my picture." You know, so that is just amazing. Yeah, there's one that I've spoken about a lot. It is a woman who ended up being Lou Gehrig's mom, the baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
So I've spoken about it before. She had a toddler, a kid, who started saying that he used to be a tall German baseball player, and she didn't believe him because she was raised in religion, and there was no context of any reincarnation or past lives or any of that stuff. So she initially took her kid to see her pastor, and they told her to get him an exorcism, you know, which was quite, you know.
Now that's in this life? That's in this life she did, or that was the other life?
This is this current lifetime, yeah. So,
okay, all right.
So she decided to get a second opinion, and that's how she found me, and she wanted to find out about past lives, what it was. So, you know, I did QHHD with her, and she went back to her lifetime as Lou Gehrig's mom. And, you know, again, I didn't tell her to go there. She just, you know, I asked her to describe her environment, what she was seeing, and she started to describe a like a working class type environment on the East Coast of the United States in like the 20th century. And, you know, gradually as the image opened, you know, it became clear that she was, you know, describing a life as Lou Gehrig's mom. And her son in this current lifetime had told her that she was his mom in that current lifetime. So, you know, lots of little details came up. You know, down to like little bracelets and necklaces with very specific details about them. And when I asked the subconscious later, like, why all this detail, and why when she came to see me again and again did she go back to the same life all the time, which was odd because I'd never had that. If people come back to see me, they always go to a different lifetime.
Right.
And so her subconscious had told me that she was to uncover all these little details so she could go check them with still living descendants and relatives of Christina Gehrig and Lou Gehrig, which she did. She's an avid researcher, and she did. She went to the East Coast and met these people.
Oh, she did go meet them.
What was that?
She did go meet them?
She did go meet them, and she was able to verify the information that had come forth, and, you know, which was very helpful. She's writing a book about, or she's written a book about the experiences. She's in the process of publishing it. But a fascinating story about, you know, this discovering of a past life, and at the same time, you know, for her, like an like her mind being opened to, you know, a vaster existence that's out there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, any idea how receptive or?
Well, she had to sort of get in through the back door. You know, she, you know, carefully brought up, you know, that she knew about these objects and she just wanted to spend time with them and ask questions. I don't think, I'm not sure if she told everyone that she verified that information with, that, you know, that she found it in a past life session. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. That's a touchy subject there. I mean, that would be very, oh boy. Okay.
Right.
Very cool.
These are older people, you know, just, you know, they were alive a long time. I mean, they were born a long time ago. So, that in their belief, it can be, yeah, it would be hard to get the information, I'm imagining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so that's the making of a movie there.
she's talking to a producer, and hopefully it'll be made into a movie. Could, you know, then it could reach a larger audience even.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, how cool. Well, so exciting for you.
Yeah, very exciting. I mean, it's wonderful that, you know, she was able to verify this information, all this detail came up. It was really, you know, and then she would send me the pictures and you know, what these people had looked like, and like articles, like newspaper articles that would describe stuff that she's been telling me about. It was just amazing. So that was the first one that I encountered that was verifiable. And then I had another client who went to a lifetime as an astronaut working for the U.S. government. And she, at first, you know, we didn't quite know where she was, because she described that she was in a dark space and she couldn't really move her body. And gradually we found out that she was in this contraption that she called a decontamination chamber.
Okay.
And so we asked for help, and there was a lady in the room, and she sort of lifted that contraption. And then my client said, "Oh my God, I am a man, and I must be in the 50s because I'm flirting with this woman, and I think I am very suave, but I'm really, really cheesy, you know."
Oh no!
That's like, I'm flirting with her like the way they did the 50s. I don't know what words they use, but yeah, she could pinpoint it. Anyway, so she ended up uncovering her life as an astronaut, and it seemed to be in a secret base somewhere in Utah. And later she found out that there is a Google Maps, there's a mountain range in Utah that is not shown on Google Maps because, you know, there might be something secretive going on. But she described this base as sort of a large open space with like different floors opening into it. And they would send him into space to gather information, and he described it a little bit boring because he would just go into space, and then, you know, there was like instruments doing readings, but not much would happen. And so I asked him what it looked like when he would go and debrief, and he described his room with these men that were sitting behind the table, and he had just given the same information, but nothing much has happened, and he always felt like there was something secretive about it, that they were really looking for some information that he wasn't aware of, like some readings that were being done that he wasn't aware of. And he didn't like those people very much because, you know, he felt like he was just sort of a guinea pig, and he wasn't really made aware of the true mission of his job. So I asked him to look around the room, and he described that there was different plaques on the wall mentioning the president. And the last one that was there was JF Kennedy. So apparently, you know, JF Kennedy was the president at the time.
Okay.
And so at one mission, he encountered this beautiful energy, and it took him to another dimension where there was another spaceship that he was able to fly in. And I think at one point there was an accident in the base where he almost died, and he actually had an out-of-body experience. And then later he actually did die during like a, what do you call it, like a flight show where they have planes flying in formation.
Mm-hmm.
He clipped like another plane and it crashed. And so she got his name and, you know, family life and, you know, how old he got, all that information. And the next day, she emailed me, and she found, "Oh my God, I am this astronaut that works for the U.S. government. Here's the page," and, you know, it described the life with the near death experience and the final death in that accident. And she said, But her experience was that she felt like she had been poisoned because she knew too much.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are sort of like the, you know, like very interesting sessions when stuff like that happens. Yeah, it's so interesting to find out about.
Yeah, that's, oh, wow. Yeah, that's where you get, you feel like, yeah, you're seeing a whole different history.
Exactly. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. Like when these sessions happen, you get a very personal account of things that we might know about through history books, you know, that might be, mm-hmm. you know, sort of a dry, you know, dry information in the history book, but we're getting like personal accounts of it. That's kind of really fascinating. And yeah, and sort of the secret, you know, what's going on behind the scenes as well. Isn't that interesting?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, where mom was always saying she was going to write a book, like history the way it really happened.
You know? So. Oh, she said that? Yes. Yeah. That would be interesting. Because I remember other members of the forum, you know, other practitioners writing about people going to past lives as like government officials and, you know, finding out about like the Vietnam War being fought about, you know, drugs and money and not really about ideology.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not usually about what they say it is. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, so those are interesting sessions. And then, you know, also I love the sessions where, like going through the fairy realm, I had two clients separate from each other describe the fairy realm to me, and they did it in similar ways. So it gave me lots of, it gave it more weight, more credibility to me, you know, so which is really helpful for me. You know, as I said, being from such a cerebral and rational culture, I looked for sort of proof and sort of more of a scientific, you know, scientific proof of that this is really happening and really existing. And,
sure. So how did they describe it?
They described it as, to what I can remember, like the mountains were sort of pinkish and purple hues, and the sky as well was purplish or pinkish, and that these beings can travel to different dimensions. So they're in a different dimensional plane than we are here on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and that they know, they have the knowledge how to travel to different dimensions, not just Earth, but also other ones, and that some of them, you know, come in to help, and some of them are a little mischievous. They also described that nuclear testing was of great worry to them because it disrupted the ability to travel, to use these portals between the worlds. It would mess it up. So if somebody was like mid, like in between worlds traveling, and there was a nuclear detonation, it reverberates through different dimensions, and sometimes they wouldn't get to where they needed to go. And if you don't know where you are, you couldn't find your way back. So, you know, these people got trapped in places that they didn't want to go to. And some places are not as, you know, beautiful and happy as others. So it was of concern to them.
Oh.
But they described like lives like we have kind of, but much more in tune with nature. Like nature was sort of experienced as being part of them, and more cohesion between people emotionally, and there was just more a sense of connection. Nature seemed more alive. I'm describing the water as being alive and being very healthy and nurturing for them.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, just really interesting. As a kid, I was always looking, you know, like in tree trunks, Steve, there were little tables or little, you know, fall on the wings of fairies because I, you know, I wanted them to exist. And now I got my sort of my proof.
There you go. Yeah. Now, are they little? Because I've heard two different things. I've heard some that they're small, and I've heard some that they're not like tiny. They're just like, that's a different. There's some that are small, and then there's some that are just, there's small, just smaller than we are. They're just a little bit smaller. So what was it that you got?
I didn't get into that. I mean, the way they were describing it was just as they were being, you know, they were being they were just beings, but they didn't say, "Oh my God, I'm so small." They were just describing, you okay. know, the way their bodies looked, and there wasn't a size attached to it. You know, the interesting thing is because I asked them if they knew about, you know, the series, the movie, like The Lord of the Rings, you know, mm-hmm. like these different realms, and if, you know, if those worlds are anything like where they're from. And they said, well, yes, we have writers that work with human writers so we can disperse the stories about, you know, about our world. So they're being made into books. It's part of the inspiration that's happening, you know, with artists here on the planet, that they get inspired. And, you know, in a spirit realm, they're working with these fairies and getting the information and putting it into book or film.
Well, that makes sense. When you were describing how their world looks, I was thinking, you know, that sounds a lot like the pictures that you see. In fact, I saw a book earlier, and it sounds very similar to the way it was colored.
Interesting.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I really like finding out about all these different worlds. I'm just trying to think if there's another session that pops up right now. Or, like, we get to find out about different, like, the legends, like, things that we've heard of and, you know, we've no culture of they existed. I had a client go back to a lifetime as King Arthur.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, and so at one point, you know, she described coming down, you know, off the cloud, you know, part of our induction, and mm-hmm. going into this, like, tower that was in ruins, but at the basement of it, there was a door, and it opened up into this lush, beautiful study, and there was an old man, like with a, what you call it, a quill, like a feather that you write with.
Right.
Lots of books everywhere, beautiful tapestries. Later we found out this was Merlin the wizard.
And super
he was teaching Arthur, you know, more elevated ways of thinking and being. So, because he was being groomed to be a king, and he didn't know it at the time. So, you know, I took him through the lifetime, and at one point we find him sitting, you know, I think there was a marriage going on, he was getting married, or there was some kind of official thing where, like, the notables of society would come up and, you know, pledge their allegiance or you know, congratulate him, something like that. And then he... I had him look around, and next to him was, you know, sat Merlin with a staff, and there was like a crystal in the staff. And so I asked him about if I could talk to Merlin. And so, you know, he sort of made space for Merlin to come through. And, you know, I was wondering about what Merlin was doing at the time. And he said he had come in with energy to help raise the frequency of consciousness on the planet. And King Arthur was an important part of that. The way he ruled was more just than the other kings. There was more compassion and more caring for people. And so I asked him what had happened to the energy. Is it still present on the planet right now? And he said, yes, it sort of trickled down into people. It's like a blue energy that is usually on the right side of their head, above their eye or something. I forgot, there was something very specific about it. But that he had come to the planet, and he became like 300 years old, like he was like a light being, to help elevate consciousness on the planet. So cool.
And that was back then. I mean, so they've been coming for a long time to do that.
Yes, apparently, yeah. There's different, you know, as we're finding out, there have been many, many different teachers to, you know, to bring wisdom and healing to people to help us elevate our consciousness. You're mm-hmm. absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard, like, different stories from different practitioners, you know, like Egyptian half-gods or gods coming in, or, you know, like Thoth, or, you know, people in India, the Swamis that have come in, with new energy to elevate our consciousness, raise our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And so have you encountered many ETs?
Yes. Yeah. They're usually, let me see. Actually, I had a session on myself where I wasn't ET. If I encounter, they're usually like part of people's like guides or guidance. I remember this one session where this lady had gone through a past life and she died and she went up to heaven, and there was this ascended master, and it looked like, you know, like an ET. She described it. I forgot what it looked like. But it had a very long name, and so it told me to just call it Billy.
Billy?
I don't know if you've ever had that. That's come up like several times to me, where, you know, these beings have like these names, or they go by vibration and color only, and then they just say, well, just call me Peter, you know.
Because it's usually a frequency. It's not a, you know.
Exactly. But just a way, you know, when we're having conversations, so we can just, you know, we don't have to. So that it's a way to address them. So, these aliens come up in sessions, and the ones I've encountered, they're always, or I'm not sure always, but often they are, you know, the person that's on the table is part of their group or their race, and they've been sent to Earth to, again, raise the frequency of consciousness here, and to observe and to learn as well, and send information back to where they're from.
Mm-hmm. It's gather information and send it back, isn't it? As well as raise the consciousness. Yeah. It's
exactly.
So beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And I love the healing stories, and I know you've got healing stories.
Yes. Like the physical healing stories, you mean?
Yeah.
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 I mean, those are amazing. Like I don't know where to start. Like what comes up? Like sometimes we have these people that, they have a hard time letting go of their conscious mind, and you know, lots of times people are worried about their conscious mind interfering. And I've had experiences where, you know, the conscious mind was very present, and I remember this one guy who was in the periphery of my social circle, and whenever I'd meet him, I'd be a little startled because he had no like emotional warmth about him. His face was like a mask, it is very rigid. And lo and behold, he asked me if he could do a session with me. So he comes in, he works in finance, you know, very sort of analytical, left brain type of person. And during the session, it was like, you know, it was a little bit like pulling teeth, you know, to get the conscious mind to recede and to have the other information come in. It did happen, but, you know, it was very, he was very alert, very present.
Mm-hmm.
And so after this session, I'm wondering, like, well, did this do anything? Did the healing happen? And so I ran into him maybe a week and a half later, and he's all smiles and super warm. And I'm looking at him, he's like, oh, my God, what happened to you? And he goes, well, this is since the session, you know, I've just been warmer. I've been feeling feelings. I've been expressing them. It's really wonderful. So that was like an emotional healing that happened that was very, very obvious. In terms of like physical stuff, I remember a lady, also another person who was very, very left-brained and very, very present during her process. So she was very aware of her process. And then she gets up off the table and her chronic backache that she'd had for forever was just gone. She walked off the table and it was gone and it never came back. So I tell people this when they come in for a session and they're worried about, you know, like they say, like, I'm very, you know, my mind is always busy. I'm always thinking. I'm worried about, you know, being able to let go of it. And will I go under, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I give them these examples about that it doesn't really matter, like, how deep they think they are, because it's working anyway. That the trance state doesn't mean that their conscious mind is completely unconscious. You know, a lot of people think that you have to be completely, like, you know, fallen off the deep end, and that's what hypnosis means, that you're not no longer conscious of your surroundings. But in my experience, the level of awareness that people have of their process is not indicative of, you know, if the session is working or not. you know, like things that their subconscious mind finds a way in anyway, and gives them the healing that is needed anyway.
Thank you for saying that. That's such a huge, huge point. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I know all of us must encounter it, like people coming in and they have this illusion about what they think it means, what they think it feels like to be under, you know, they say to be under. And, mm-hmm. you know, after a little bit of exploration, you know, it means to them that they're completely unconscious. And and I explain to them, no, you know, for a lot of people, I never know what's going to happen, but for a lot of people, they might be hyper aware, or the awareness might go in and out. I can never tell, but like whether, you know, a session working is not, you know, cannot be judged by whether you're hyper alert or completely, you know, dropped off the deep end. Mm-hmm. I've seen it over and over and over again.
I just always say, just as long as that information's coming through, that's all that matters.
Exactly. As long as there's imagery coming in, or, you know, like physical sensations, you know, sometimes people are not visually inclined and they have more of a body sensory experience, or it starts out like that and then later the images come in. After doing so many sessions, I just trusted so much, you know, like in the beginning I would be a little, I'd wonder if it really worked, if their conscious mind was still present. But after doing so many sessions, I've seen that it really just worked. It's really a miraculous work that Dolores developed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and like you said, I mean, we've even seen sessions where it looks like absolutely nothing happened. I mean, that person, maybe nothing was coming in. They were... looked like they were interfering and no information was coming in. Yet when they left, they had the most absolute, most wonderful session. I mean, you know, and you're going, how on earth? You know? So that's where you just trust the process, because
exactly,
you're not the one doing it. Their higher self is doing the whole thing and you just have to trust it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
it's really beautiful. Yeah, those are, what you asked me about, like physical healing. It was a woman who was growing benign tumors on her joint of her fingers and her legs. And so she went back into some lifetimes. It's a long time ago, so I don't quite remember what she was seeing, but she went back to some lifetimes where, you know, things had happened that made her... that made her grow these benign tumors in her current lifetime. It might have been a reminder of that lifetime or some self-judgment that was still present. I'm not sure. But mm-hmm. anyway, we worked on it, and then the tumors, just they didn't grow back. They were just gone.
They just disappeared right then, after the session?
No, she was growing them. She just had them removed, and then after the session, they just didn't grow back.
Okay, got it.
Because she kept growing them and kept growing, they had to be removed, and... so they didn't come back.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, real quick, Jeroen, before, because we're like at 5 minutes before, but and then we can talk some more, but I want you to tell people how they can reach you if they want to find you or have any questions for you. So if you can tell them different ways to contact you, then we'll do that. Oh. And if we still have some time, we'll let you talk some more about some things.
Sure. Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Of course, you can always find me as a practitioner on the website, Dolores' website. I'm listed under the practitioners. I'm in Los Angeles, in Northeast Los Angeles, and so I have my office where I do this work. So you can reach me by phone, 323-439-3494, 323-439-3494. My website is... Source Energy Therapy. It's hyphenated, so source-energy-therapy.com. So there's the information there as well. Let's see. Facebook, my name is Jeroen. It's spelled J as in John, E-R-O-E-N, and then my last name, W-I-T, on Facebook. Also, Source Energy Therapy on Facebook. Twitter is my first name, Jeroen, it's love. It's like my personal affirmation. and as well as Instagram. So those are different ways that people can contact me. I think that I've got it covered. And then my email is my first name, Jeroen, so Jeroen, the number 1 at gmail.com. I think that's it.
Super. So they should be able to find you. So I'm trying, if they can't find you, they're not looking.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was really wonderful to share. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to let me speak about all that. As I've told you before, I love doing this work. I also do, the group sessions that Dolores also did. And
that's right. Yeah, you've been doing a lot of those, haven't you?
Yeah, I started doing them in 2011, and I do them every first Friday of the month here in Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's a great way for to introduce people to hypnosis if they're nervous about it or, just not sure what to do or how it works. If you want to explain that a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of people, sometimes people don't want to invest in a full session at first. They just want to have a little tryout. So then they can come in a group form. And so I lead people through a group process where people have a sample of one or more past lives. And then afterwards, people share about it. And this is really a wonderful aspect of the group work, because it seems to be a platform as well for people that have experiences that are not, that our society doesn't mirror. So, they might have been visited by beings at night, or might have had metaphysical healings done, or they might know about, their sort of spirit mom and dad or alien connections. And so being group format where different people share about this, there's recognition of people that are having similar experiences, which is really, it's wonderful when people, get some more support that way, because they might feel, a little bit weird when they have those experiences and, their family or their, the people that they hang out with, it doesn't, they think they're a little strange or it doesn't reflect that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that's an excellent idea. So here they come into a supportive group.
So. Exactly. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it looks like we're down to a couple of minutes. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the classes that we have coming up in June. We have level 2 coming up June 9th to the 12th, and these are all in Arkansas, here in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And then right after that, we have a crystal dig, where we'll actually take a group down to Central Arkansas and dig for crystals. And then we'll have our practitioner reunion on the 14th. And then we'll do a live level 1 class. That's a 6-day class from the 15th to the 20th. So it's a full 6 days where you learn the technique, and then you have 2 days to practice with each other. And then you come back on the 6th day and everybody shares their experiences. And there are some wild stories that happen there, because everybody has, they get some wonderful experiences right out of the gate. Anyway, so I just got the 30-second sign, and so I want to thank everyone for being here with us, and thank you so much, Jeroen, for being here tonight, and it's been wonderful. I'm so excited that you were here with me.
Thank you so much. It sure was. Thank you for connecting again and hearing your voice and hanging out with you over the radio waves. And giving me this opportunity to speak about my work. That was really lovely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. And good night. We'll see you in a few weeks.